Can we just give that worship team a little bit of love this morning, y'all? And never ever forget the guys in the sound booth and the guys and gals up top running the words. Give them some love too. Yeah, welcome. Glad you're here. Okay, one more thing. While we're in the celebrating mood, let's celebrate our online viewers, Lord. Let them know, yeah, that we're glad they're here with us today as well. So I'm just going to tell you, man, I love Sunday mornings. I love Sunday mornings. I love getting up and coming to church. I love hanging out with you guys, worshiping God, hearing the Word of God. And so glad you're here today. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start a three-week series here at Bethel. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to kind of pause. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the vision of Bethel. We're going to talk about the DNA of Bethel. We're going to talk about why we do what we do, the vision and the heart of this place. How many know it's important that we have a vision of what God is doing in our lives? It's important that we have this vision of what God's doing in me. What's God got planned for me? What's God got planned for my family? And what does God have planned for the church? You know, we don't just gather on Sunday mornings just to do church. Come on, somebody. How many of you grew up going to church and the only reason you went to church is because you knew you were supposed to do church because your grandmama told you you needed to go to church? Come on, somebody. And it helped our conscience and it made us feel better. See, I just want you to know before we get started today, we don't do church at Bethel just so that we can say that we're doing church. We do church at Bethel because we believe that there is revival starting in America. We do believe that revival is starting in the family. And I'm going to say this to you today. I love the local church, and I think the local church is the hope of the world. And I'm going to tell you something. Revival is not starting outside the church. Revival is starting inside the church. Jesus loves the church, and the Bible said that Jesus died for the local church. Jesus died, and we live in this great nation where we can choose to come together on Sunday morning. We can worship God. We can hear the Word of God preached. Revival is going to start inside the church with men and women who have trusted Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, go back and read the Bible. See, I'm telling you, revival's not going to start in our government. Come on, somebody. And revival is not going to start in our culture. Revival is not going to start out there in Hollywood. Revival has always started in the church. And we are blood-bought, spirit-filled, Pentecostal believers in this place today. And if you go back and you read the Word of God, you will see that revival started in the book of Acts. And it is when a bunch of misfits came together and said, we don't know what the future holds. They didn't have it all figured out, but they said, we're going to gather together in unity. And we're going to lift up the name that is above all names. We're going to worship God. We're going to hang out together. We're going to read the Word of God. Revival has always started in the church, and revival is going to happen in the church today. And through the church, everything else will catch fire as we come. And Bethel is our church. I trust that you're here today. And I trust that God has called you to be a part of this church. The Bible says the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord. And I don't believe that it's an accident that you happened to this church. You are here because God wants you to be a part of the local church and the local body. Because everybody matters in the body of Christ. Everybody look at me. Look. Everybody matters in the body of Christ. The Bible says if one member of the body is gone, it affects everything. How many of you have ever hung your little pinky toe at night getting up to go to the bathroom and your little pinky toe hurt and everything was off that week? See, if you ain't here, everything's off. If I ain't here, everything is off. We are all a part of this local body of believers. And it's called Bethel Assembly. So what is the vision of Bethel? Cody, why is it important that you talk to me about the vision of our church? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, I'm going to read it to you from the old King James translation. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, no picture of the future, no hope of what God is going to do and what God is wanting to do. We have to, as a body, go, man, what God is doing is huge. God is not just working in me, but God is working on my parents over here. God is not just working in me, but God is working on my children. God is working in the people that I work with on a weekly basis. God is working and God is moving. It's more than just doing church. And if we don't have a vision of the future, the Bible says we'll just perish. We'll just die. How many of you drove by 10 or 12, 15, 18 churches to get over here to Bethel this morning? And I'm not knocking any church, but here's what I want to say to you today. There are churches all over our country that have good pastors that are leading them. The pastors, I promise you, they're pastors because they love God and they love the Word of God. There's people in those churches and they love God and they want more, but there's churches that are dying all over this country. You just drive by and watch them, signs coming down, the yards growing up, and they're dying. Why are they dying if there's good people there? Why are they dying if there's a good pastor there to lead them? Because they have no vision. They're just doing church. They're just showing up because I'm third generation Baptist, and by God, I got to go to Baptist church. Come on, somebody. I got to sit in my pew. And I see you sitting out there in your pew and in your chair. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We got to know God's doing something huge and something big. Churches are dying because of no vision. Let me read Proverbs 29:8 to you from the NIV translation. A little different take, a little different touch. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, where there's no spirit-filled vision of what can happen in our lives, the people cast off restraint. What does that mean? The people cast off restraint. Now, we're a bunch of country folk over here. Can I hear a good amen? And y'all have all seen horses that pull a wagon. And when horses pull a wagon, there is a restraint put on their neck known as a collar. They have this collar. It's hooked them up to the wagon. And if there's two horses or three horses, all those horses have restraints that hold them together so that when they pull, they all pull in the same direction. That's why it's important in church that we have a vision so we don't cast off our restraints, because I have lots of pastor friends. And when the church has no vision, here's what happens. The youth is pulling this direction, and the children's department is pulling this direction, and the worship department is pulling this direction, and the lead pastor is trying to go this direction, and everybody's trying to go a different place, and they're pulling against themselves. What will unify everything is when we put our collar on, we're tied together. This is our vision, and everybody works as hard as they can to bring the vision to pass. It's important that we all understand why we are here, our vision. Our DNA at Bethel, it's this. It's a good place for you to write down some notes, write some stuff down, think about this. Our vision is this: connect, cultivate, and carry on. Connect, cultivate, and carry on. It's been our vision for years. It will continue to be our vision. Connect. The first thing that anybody in this life needs to do is connect with God. How many of you know your connection with a life-giving God is game changer? Connect with God, and then you got to connect with God's people, because we are hardwired by God to be in relationship and connection with the people around us. Connect with God, connect with God's people, and then when God starts doing something in our lives, we begin to cultivate it. We hook up our spiritual tractor because we have to kill some weeds in our life. Come on, somebody. We have to get rid of some grass birds. We connect. God changes us. Now we cultivate. We take responsibility for our own faith journey. And then we begin to carry on the work of the ministry. We go out into a dark world and we shine the light of Jesus Christ. That is our heart. That is our vision. Today I'm going to talk to you about connect. Everybody say connect. I'm going to talk to you about connecting, about your connections. How many of you would agree with me? Our world is starving for connection these days. Our world is starving for connection. As I look at the world today, I see so many screens. Come on, somebody. I see so many computers. I see so many people setting, go to a restaurant where husband and wife are on a date. She looks really cute. She's dressed up just for him. He's got his best clothes on, and here's what they're doing. Doom scrolling. doom scrolling, and the enemy is using it, and the enemy's saying your marriage will never be as good as the marriage that you're seeing on Instagram or on Facebook or on TikTok. And you're looking and you're just scrolling. We are dying for connection. We get our kids. Can I be real with y'all today? We get our kids, and our kids need to connect with mom and dad. And you know what we do? We give them a screen, tell them, get over and shut up and leave me alone so I can do what I want to do. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? We got videos, we got YouTube, we got AI, we got social media, and all of those things are okay in a little bit. Don't leave here and say, oh my God, he's anti-social media, he's anti-telephone. I'm not. They're okay, and they can be used as a tool, but nothing is a replacement for connecting with a life-giving God, and nothing is replacement for connecting and having relationship with people in your lives. Our world is dying for connection and dying for relationships. Connection number one with God. Connection with God, and then connections with people. Connection is life. Connection is life. And so that is our heart here at Bethel. It's our DNA. It's our vision. Different churches have different visions. I know churches that want to teach you Hebrew and Greek, and different churches that have a vision of having the biggest small groups and visions of this. Our vision is just to create an atmosphere where saint and sinner can come alike on Sunday morning, where the presence of the Lord is in this place, and we can connect with God, and it changes everything in our life. Just connection with God. That's why we do. Can I tell you this? I get questions all the time. We do family church over here. You should have said amen. We do family church. And one of the reasons that we do, I mean, if your kids are 5 and up, they need to come to church with you. That's our vision. That's our heart. If you need a Sunday morning babysitter and you want to go to a church where your children can be away from you for an hour and a half, then I'm going to tell you, you better go find you another church, because we do family church because how many of you will agree with me? Families need more connection these days. I'll guarantee you, some of you parents wish you had more time with your kids. And I get it. We get in the rat race, and we got to play this sport and that sport and this activity, and we got to do this and we got to do that. And so what better place to come together as a family and connect with God and connect with one another? That's why we do family church, just connection. That's why we work really hard to have great greeters, to hug your neck and to shake your hand, just so you can connect with God and with people. It's why we have coffee. It's why we have golf carts. Some of you really need to walk from your car up here. Just saying. We do golf carts so you can. That's why we built this campus with a pickleball court, with outdoor area, with fire pit, with picnic tables. We want people to connect under the umbrella of God, connect with God, and connect with others. We will stop nothing short of sin to connect people with God. Because how many of you would agree with me? Living a life disconnected from God is a dark, lonely, cold place. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. I know how miserable that is, but trust me, I know how good it is when I connect with God. And I know how good it is when I connect with God's people. It changes everything. Here's what I want to say as being a part of Bethel. If you've tasted and seen of the goodness of God, if you've tasted and seen the goodness of Christian fellowship, why in the world would we not join forces with the local body of Christ to let somebody else now know the joys that we know through connections? That's what we do. Connection means to be joined, to means to be linked or fastened together, to establish contact with. I want us to look at creation and see what happens when God connects. Because I love creation. How many of you love this earth? Come on, y'all. I mean, I love heaven. Don't take me wrong on that. But I love sunrises, and I love sunsets, and I love animals and horses and green grass and all those things. And I want you to see what happened when God connected with this earth. Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:2. The earth, it's not like we think it is now. It was without form. There was like no form to it. Like now it's round, spherical. Y'all didn't know I knew that word, did you? It was round. Now it's round, but in the beginning, it had no form. It was void. That means it was empty. And darkness covered over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the earth was here. It was dark. It was void. It was empty. And the Spirit of God was just waiting to move. And at the command and the voice of Almighty God, the Spirit hit the earth and connected with the earth. And all of a sudden, water separated from dry ground. And now out of dry ground grew grass and grew trees. And then there was animals, and then there was human beings, and there was a sunrise and a sunset and rain and dew. Everything changed when God connected with this earth. And I'm going to tell you something today. Everything changed when I got connected with God as well. It's just what happens. We got to know that. We got to understand. And can I tell you something? We're going to work. We're going to do the best we can at Bethel. I know we're not perfect. I'm not telling you we're perfect. I know we have flaws. I know we could get better in some of these areas. But we're going to work hard and use all of our resources and efforts to create an atmosphere where everybody can just come in here and connect with God. But I want you to look at me. Look. Once you connect with God, it becomes your responsibility to stay connected to God. I've heard it for 25 years. Well, if this would just happen, then I could stay connected to God. Well, if we just had this class, then I would be connected to God. If God would just answer my prayers. If God has been good to you and shined the light in your life, you should say, I am going to take this responsibility upon myself. This is not my preacher's responsibility. It ain't my mommy's responsibility. It ain't my spouse's responsibility. God's been good, and I'm going to give everything I can to stay plugged in and connected to God. Let me read you some scripture. I love this scripture. Romans 11:17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although you were a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Here's the power of connecting with God. How many of you were a wild olive branch? Come on, somebody, just say it today. Wild olive branch, that was me. I was raised to do right. I was raised going to church, and I got to this age, and I broke myself off, and I said, I'm going to live my life. And I got out here disconnected from God, and thank God that his mercies are new every morning, and I felt the calling of the Holy Spirit calling me back, and I came back, and guess what God did? He grafted me in to the olive tree. And then, all of a sudden, that scripture says the same nourishing sap and the same nourishment that makes the olive tree what the olive tree is now flows out inside to me, out inside to what was once a wild branch. And I'm going to tell you something. I am not very smart, and I am not very educated, and I'm not very spiritual. But I'm going to make this declaration today. I am plugged in to the vine. I am plugged in to Jesus Christ. And now the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead flows out inside of me. And what I can't do on my own, now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's you. That's you. You got to understand you're plugged in. You're plugged in. And so now we're plugged in. Now what? Now let's start producing some fruit for the kingdom of God. How many of you want to just be a fruitless peach tree? Come on, somebody. Like, I know I told this story. I ain't told this story in years. I'm telling it, Jennifer. When Jennifer and I first moved back from Guthrie, we were broke and we didn't have nothing, and we moved to a trailer house in my grandparents' backyard back there. It was nothing. Dirt, no grass, nothing. And Jennifer, we was broke, and Jennifer, one day she was going to go to the flea market. She's a little bit of a junker like her mother. Anyway, she goes to the flea market. I said, don't you spend no money. We got no money. Don't spend no money. She come home from the flea market, and she said, Cody, I got to confess, I spent some money. I was like, how did I know that? She said, but I bought a tree. It's going to go in our yard. We have no grass. We have no trees. I bought a tree. It's going to be a good tree. It's going to be a great tree. It's going to make some shade. And I said, well, babe, what kind of tree did you buy? She said, it's a fruitless pear tree. I said, say what? Why in the world would you buy a fruitless pear tree? Why not buy a pear tree that produces pears? So why would you and I want to show up on Sunday morning? I don't care how many followers you got on Instagram. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care. Why would we want to show up? Why would we want to live lives and be just trees that never produced any fruit, but we can say we believe in Jesus?
Come on, it's time for that. You want revival? You want revival? You want revival in your family? You want revival in the schools? You want revival in the government? It's going to start in the church, and it's going to start when the church takes on their own responsibility and stays connected with God and starts producing fruit for the glory of God. That was good right there. I don't know where that was good. That was real good. John 15, 5 through 7. Here's the scripture. John 15, 5. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I abide in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. How many of you are at a place in your life where you can say this? Apart from God, I can't do anything. Oh, don't get prideful on me. Oh, maybe you can train a few horses. Oh, maybe you can go have a little bit of success in your business. Oh, maybe you can make a little bit of money, but living the abundant life, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, if we cannot do it disconnected from God. Trust me, I'll tell you, when I tell you this, it's harder to stay connected to God than it sounds. It's harder to stay connected to God because the enemy will fight you to get you disconnected. The world will fight you to get you disconnected. Your time will fight you. Your hobbies will fight you. And everything will fight you just to break your connection with God. We got to work hard and we got to put effort into just staying connected. That's what God wants from us. That's the heart and the vision of Bethel. Create an atmosphere and an environment where saint and sinner can come and just get connected with God. That's our heart. And then the next part of our heart, the next part of our heart and our vision is a little bit harder than the first. Now we got to connect with people. Because it's easy for me to want to have a relationship with God, but some of you knuckleheads, it's a little hard for me to want to hang out with you and have a relationship with you. Come on, somebody. Just telling you like it is. Picture of the cross. We celebrate the cross. The cross is this, and the cross is this. It signifies to me in my heart that there's this vertical line, and that's our connection with God. But then there's a horizontal line, which means it's our connection in the body of Christ. And if we want to produce fruit and be all God has called us to be, we got to connect with God, but we got to connect with people as well. And I'll be honest with you, I know a lot of people that are really connected with God. But they're not connected with people, and their life is miserable, and they're full of self-righteousness and darkness and loneliness. We got to connect here, but we got to connect here because God created us to need connection with him and with others. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm when they're alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We gotta connect with God, but we gotta connect with God's people. We got to connect with each other because here's what happens when something goes wrong in our life, when somebody hurts our feelings, when we don't get our prayers answered, when we don't get what we want. We all have this tendency to want to draw away from the body of Christ, draw away from everyone else, and we want to seclude ourselves and isolate ourselves. And we say, I can handle this. I'm connected with God. You've bought the lie of the enemy, because when we get isolated by ourselves, that's when the enemy will come and wear your butt out. And here's this, I want to read you some more scripture. It's a picture of Jesus on the cross. Some of the last words that he spoke before he died. These words are so important. Jesus is on the cross. He's looking down. There's a few people left there that are supporting him through it all. One being his mother and one being his best friend, the disciple that he loved, John. Those two were standing down there. Let's read the words that Jesus said to those, his dying words to his mama and best friend. John 19, 24, 25 through 27. John 19, verse 25 through 27. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, Mary and John, he said to his mama, "Mama, behold, there's your son."
And he said to the disciple that he loved, "Behold, there is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took Jesus' mother unto his own home. Jesus knew that Mary, as a mother, would say, "My son doesn't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened to me." He knew that his mother would have the temptation to go off by herself and try to deal with it on her own. Jesus knew that his best friend John would have temptation to go off and hide and seclude himself. Jesus knew that. And his dying words were, "You two got to stick together, because two is better than one. And your connection with each other and your connection with God is what's going to help you push through this thing." Connection. Connection is key. Connection with God and connection with God's people. We need both. That is the heart and that is the vision of Bethel. We're going to do everything we can to get you connected to God. And we're going to do everything we can to get you connected to one another. Now, let me just say this right quick, since it's second service and I have a little bit more freedom in my time. You're going to have to work hard to be connected with other people. Different people, different backgrounds. You're going to have to work hard. You work hard at the school system to be friends with the other moms. You work hard at your career to be friends with the other cowboys. You work really hard. You're going to have to work really hard. And all you need is just connection with God and start connecting with one person. And then you got to strive and you got to work forward. That's the way it is. That's the heart and the DNA of Bethel. I want to close with this today. There's four basic needs to humanity, to every human. Whether you're male, female, red, yellow, black, white, single, divorced, teenager, all humans have four basic needs. We need significance. What's my purpose in life? We need to have purpose. We also need to have support. We need support. We need The next thing we need is stability. We need a place where we can stand on stable ground. And the last thing we need is this: stimulation. And here's what I want to say to you today. Getting connected with God and God's people in a local church will meet all four of those needs. Getting connected with God, with God's people, meeting in a local church will meet all of those needs. You can't get them anywhere else. You can't get all those needs at the club. Come on, somebody. You can't get all those needs at the basketball game. You can't get all those needs at the rodeo. You can't get them anywhere else. But in the local church, we can get all of those things. And when we truly connect with God and truly connect with others, we will find out that we are significant. We will find out that no matter how much we've messed up or what kind of pig pen we're living in, God sent his only begotten son to die on a cross to forgive us and redeem us. And you know what? We will find out that we matter because God loves us. And that will challenge us to make some changes in our life. We'll find significance. We'll find our purpose. Our purpose in life. You know what our purpose in life is? To bring glory to God in whatever we do. Connor's purpose in life is not to lead worship. My purpose in life is not to preach. Darren's purpose in life is not to be a great creator on Instagram. Jason, your purpose in life is not to dig water wells. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God and produce fruit that would lead people to him. That's our purpose. And we'll find that out in the church. We'll know that we're significant and that we have a purpose. And in the church, you'll find a support system. How many are thankful for somebody in this church that supported us just a little bit? Thankful for somebody that just came along and said, "You know what? I see the Lord working in you. Man, you bless me. I got to see you every week." Just smiling, just giving somebody a hug. Support system is in this church. Now, wait a minute. Church is not just a place for you to come get support. It might be a place for you to come and give support to somebody else that's going through hell on earth. We forget that sometimes in the church. We just want to come and everybody support us. No, no, no. When you get to that place where you've connected with God and others, now you come and go, "Who can I support today?" Stability. We need a place where we can. How many would agree with me? Our world is shifting sand these days. Stability. Come to Bethel. Come to church. Local church. You come to church and you go, "You know what? That's founded on the Word of God.
Boom, I get back centered. I get my life just right. I have stability through the local church, and also I can provide stability for others. And the last thing is stimulation. How many of you know you need to be stimulated to do more and to do better? Come on, somebody. Don't make me come off the stage and look you right square in the eye. I will walk down those aisles and look you in the eye and tell you you need to be stimulated. I call it the Holy Ghost hot shot. Come on, somebody. We live in a country. Y'all know what a hot shot is. I am known around my friends. I love a good hot shot that will shock an old horned cow that's on the hook and won't do what you want her to do. I love get that hot shot. Man, I got me one of them new good hot shots. They're orange, and you can charge it up in your pickup. You can charge it all week long. Get that sucker hot. You could almost weld with that thing, what I'm talking about. And you get one of them old cows that gets on the hook, thinks she's going to run over you and your horse. These new ones are so hot, you can stick a cow in the ribs and she'll just go, stop moving. And then when you let off, buddy, she will go where she didn't want to go. Can I just tell you, 90% of you in here, you need the orange hot shot is what you need. You need to be stimulated. I need to be stimulated. You can find that in the local church. Worship team, please come help me out. I'm running off the rails now. Significance, support, stability, and stimulation can only happen in the local church. When we connect with God and we connect with the body of Christ, that's when things change. Can I say this right quick in love? I really mean this in love. If this is not the place where you can find those things, and this is not where God, you feel like God has called you at Bethel, like, I love you, but go find your church that does those things for you. You're all welcome to stay, but I don't want you to stay here, just stay here and stay here, but I'm not getting those things. Find one for you, because the local church is where you connect with God and where you connect with others. Today, we're going to close with the one thing that connects us all. There's only one way we can connect with God. It's not through our good works. It's not through quoting the Ten Commandments. It's not from perfect attendance at church. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. The only way we can be connected with God is through the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so today we're going to celebrate as we close our service with Holy Communion. It's the thing that connects us with God, and it's the thing that connects us as a body of believers. Because you know what the broken body and the blood of Christ does? Listen to me, and I'm almost done. It brings equality to the body of Christ. It don't matter if you're preacher, missionary, worship leader. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, at the moment that you take the broken body and the blood, you are forgiven, changed, and we're all the same. We're all children of God. It's a game changer. So we're going to celebrate that today. We celebrate here at Bethel. We call it open communion. You don't have to be a member of Bethel. You don't even ever have to have attended before. But if you're here today, the only stipulation in celebrating communion is that you're a blood-bought child of God. That you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And today you come and you celebrate connections. See, the same night when Jesus was betrayed and he was arrested, he took bread with his 12 disciples, and he took the bread and he broke it and he said, y'all take and eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Now the Bible says after they had eaten, Jesus took the wine, he poured it in a cup, and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. He said, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me. So today as we come and celebrate communion, somebody will hand you a piece of bread. They'll say, the body of Christ broken for you. You step over to the person holding the cup, and they'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you, and you dunk your bread in the juice, and then you partake. In that moment, celebrate your connection with God. Celebrate your connection with God's people. Now, I want to tell you this. I'm going to pray in a minute, and we're going to start. We want this to be a sacred moment, a worshipful moment. It's going to take a while to get everybody through here. So I'm asking you, in the spirit of God, let's keep this a worshipful moment. Don't go to the back if you're first and be cutting up and laughing. Let this be a worshipful moment where you focus on God just for 15, 10 minutes.
Because you don't want to be a distraction for somebody that's down here about to partake and, man, they're having a moment with God. I say this to you, somebody's going to hand you some bread because we always get weirded out over this. If somebody hands you a piece of bread and you dunk it in the wine and your bread falls in the wine, do not go in after it. Just stop, relax, and they'll hand you another piece of bread and you can do it again because we all want to celebrate this moment. Cole, would you come? Those that are here to serve communion, would you make your way down? I want to ask you this. Two outside rows, if you would. It matters logistically. Two outside rows, if you would start at the back and come down the outside wall. There'll be a couple of stations here. You can receive your communion and go back to the back. Two middle rows, start at the back and come down the middle right here. It just works so much better. So let's close and let's celebrate communion. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today. We thank you that you truly are a life-giving God. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we could all realize and recognize today that disconnected from you is a lonely, lonely place. And so, Father, I pray for some of those that may be a wild olive branch today. Maybe they've strayed and they've went away. Lord, I pray today that your Spirit would draw them back in and they would be grafted back into the vine. And the moment they're grafted back into the vine, that the Spirit would fill their hearts. And, Lord, they would have a spirit of repentance and they would turn from their evil ways and run back to you and live for you, Lord. Thank you for connection through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that it didn't cost us anything to get connected, but let us realize it's going to cost us some effort to stay connected. Lord, thank you for the men and women in this room that are our friends and our support and our stability and our stimulation, Lord. Speak to us, challenge us as we close in worship today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Y'all stand on your feet. Worship team's going to lead worship. Start at the back, two outside rows around the outside. Middle guys, start at the back and come down the middle.